quick word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into this thing. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for watching over us, oh God, leading us, guiding us, and protecting us, bringing us here to your house once again, Father God. So I just pray that you have your way. Allow your word to come forth with boldness and with clarity, oh God. I pray, oh God, you open every heart, every mind, oh God. Allow us to dig deeper into your word, oh God, so we can understand prayer and pray how you would want us to, Father God. It is glorifying to you. So we thank you for that, oh God, that you left us your son and left us your word, oh God. So we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all can be seated. We're going to kind of dig through some scriptures. And if you have any questions or anything at the end, I'll leave a little time so we can talk and have any questions. If y'all got anything y'all want to share. Also, as well, if you need to take a picture of the screen for note purposes, you can do that as well. Amen. All right. Let me get my slides going. All right. So, quick recap. I'm going to do a quick recap of last week, just because last week and a half, so we know kind of where we're going. Just a couple of things. We talked about the legacy of prayer and how important it is to leave a legacy. A legacy is something that can be left to your children. Here's a definition of legacy real quick. It is an amount of money or property left to someone in a will. Synonyms can be inheritance, gift, heirloom, birthright, provision, and that's just to name a few. All that can be considered a legacy, and we're leaving a legacy for our children. So I talked about as much as we can leave money and property and all those things are good. You should want to leave that to your kids. What if we left a legacy of prayer?
Amen.
You know what I mean? If we left it, because that's going to extend past our lifetime, past our money and monetary value, the legacy of prayer. And another thing I touched on was prayer is a choice. That's one thing about prayer. We have to choose to pray. It's our choice. We either can do it or we're not. God is not going to make us pray. He ain't going to force us to pray. We have to make a conscious decision that I want to communicate with the Father. I want to communicate with the creator of me, the creator of the universe. So we have to make a choice to pray. So today we're going to talk about what types of prayer. What are the different types of prayer? And this is where we're going to go dig into this thing. So if you look at real quick in this first scripture, 1 Timothy 2, it says this: therefore, I exhort, first of all that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy right here. And he leaves these jewels, this thing right there. Paul is encouraging Timothy that supplications, that means requests, intercessions, prayer for others, prayers and intercessions, and the givings of thanks, exhorting God, be made for all men, which is all men and women. So he's saying all these things should be done and should be made by all men and women. He's giving Timothy these jewels because Timothy's a young pastor starting a church. So I'm going to give you an acronym I got from the book, The Battle Plan of Prayer. And here's the acronym for prayer. It's ACTS. A-C-T-S. ACTS. Adoration for A. Confession for C. Thanksgiving for T, and supplication for S. Acts. Any prayer at any time should have at least one of them. But if we're going to have our relationship with God go further, all four should become part of our everyday prayer life. All four. So we got to look at that. So God wants to bloom us like into a beautiful rose and plant seeds into us. And he wants us to grow. And I feel for your prayer life to grow and get where it needs to be, you got to have adoration, you got to have confession, you got to have some thanks going, and then you got to have some supplication. So we're going to start order. We're going to start with A, which is adoration. What does adoration mean? Adoration is prayer that praises and worship God. That's it. Adoration is prayer and praise that worships God. So adoration is praise because he's worthy of all the honor and the glory. So I just give him glory. When I'm praying in adoration, I'm not asking God for anything. I'm just lifting his name up. I'm saying, God, you're good. God, you're worthy to be praised. God, you are awesome. You're magnificent. God, you are great. Something in us already wants to worship anyway. We're already designed to worship. We talked a little bit about this last Wednesday. When Boys the Men came to town, you should have seen everybody.
Right.
Everybody on their feet. You don't have to ask nobody to get on their feet. Everybody stand on their feet. They said, say ho, say ho. Say yeah, say yeah. Scream, ah! Everybody screaming, spinning around in circles, doing everything. So that showed me that something in our heart already wants to worship. We've been wired to worship. So God is saying, since you're wired to worship, you're supposed to worship me. See, the thing is, once we're wired to worship, we will give our hearts, attention, money, time, and service to whatever we value the most. Because we're wired to worship. Something's going to get our heart, something's going to get our mind, something's going to get our attention, and something's going to get our money because we are designed to worship. So we should never have to pump anybody up to celebrate God, even though we do, because we should give him honor simply because he puts breath in our body. So I'm going to give you an example of scripture. Psalms 150, familiar scripture, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's adoration right there. Let everything that has breath, it ain't got nothing to do with that, nothing. It's because I got breath, I ought to praise him.
Amen.
It's adoration. If you remember briefly, we touched on the Lord's prayer with his disciples last week. And we were touching on that. They said, look, Jesus, something about your prayer life is different. I don't know what it is, but Lord, teach us how to pray. Because when you pray, they get answered. When you pray, God talking. When you pray, there's power. Lord, teach us how to pray. And if you look at this, I want you to say, this is the model prayer. The Lord's prayer is the model, but you have to find your own flow in it too, all right? It's not just something that if I repeat the Lord's prayer, God's going to bless me. No. Jesus was giving them a model to pray, something to follow. But if you look at it, what does Jesus start his prayer off with? Look at this, Matthew 6. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed will be their name. Be thy name. But what does hallowed mean? In the Greek, it's pronounced as hagizado, which means holy, consecrate, and sanctify. So Jesus said, before I get to doing anything else, I'm a hallow, I'm a honor your name. Before I get to ask him, before we get to go any further, God, I got to lift your name up. That is an important principle in prayer. So when I call upon God, I'm calling upon him because he's holy, because he's righteous, because he's perfect. Because he's pure. So I'm inviting him into every detail of my life. Adoration of praise puts God in the proper perspective. See, when I acknowledge who he is, I'm not overwhelmed by the storm because he speaks to storms and storms stop. I'm not overwhelmed by the storm because he's the one to let the storm happen. So if you let the storm happen and I'm in his hands, I'm all right. But I got to understand and know who he is, that he's my helper. So when I'm in adoration mode, I'm in constant reminder of who God is. You are my creator. You are awesome. You are worthy. You are this. You are that. Whatever God is to you, we can call him whatever. Good, of course, but you awesome. But we lifting up his name. So when I'm in adoration mode, I'm understanding like this, like you've already given me the victory. I'm thanking you, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You, Jehovah Nissi, my banner. You, Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. You are Jehovah Shammah, the God of salvation. You are Jehovah Shalom, my peace. I'm lifting him up and boosting that up in me because now when I come into prayer, I'm more confident now because I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the one whose name is above all names. So I don't care if I'm dealing with cancer, his name is above cancer. I don't care if I'm dealing with AIDS, his name is above AIDS. I don't care if I'm whatever I'm dealing with, his name is above that. So when I come in with adoration, I'm lifting him up. It brings me up to a mind frame that, dang, I'm talking to the God of gods, the King of kings and the Lords of lords. So in adoration mode, I'm just happy to lift his name up. In adoration mode, check this out. I relinquish my control of situations. In adoration mode, I come to the realization that I can't do nothing without him. So I might as well surrender. I just can't do it. I need you. I need you, God. I'm in need of you. So I have a question to pose you. How often do you praise God while you're praying? Or do we just ask? God, I need this. God, do this for me. God, do this, do this. How are we really praying and lifting his name up? So you have to get to a point in your life that sometime when I'm praying, I'm not even asking for nothing. I just come to pray because you God. I just want to talk to you because you God. I just want to lay it all at your feet and lay every burden down because you're God. And I know I got you in my corner and that gives me peace. See, this is why God hates arrogance. And really, he's the only one that's allowed to be arrogant. He created everything. See, since I created everything, this is crazy. Just like I said, we wired to worship our favorite artists, or we at the basketball games and football games. We up cheering and happy and got the jersey and the shoes. And so we are so in tune with that stuff. And God gets a little bit of praise. It trips me out. Oh, batteries. Trips me out. I thought about this, that we like musicians. We give musicians all kind of props, especially rappers. We lift up rappers and they didn't even invent the words they sell. Ain't that crazy?
you didn't even create the words you're using, and I'm willing to lift you up. So we must get to a point where we lifting God up and giving him honor and glory for everything that he's done. Yeah. All right. So back to the list. Acts, A-C-T-S. The next type of prayer on our list is confession. Confession. Yes, yes, yes. Confession. It's wild because Letty Thomas and I, when she was talking last week, Sunday, she was talking about repentance, and I felt that in my heart when she was talking about we need to repent because we don't talk about repenting enough. But what did Jesus say when he started the ministry? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance is essential in your life of being a Christian. So what does confession mean? Confession is prayer that is honest about our sins. That's it. Confession is simply prayer that I'm being honest about my sins. As simple as it sounds, everybody don't do it. It sounds so simple to confession. Just confess. Just say what you did. But we don't do it. And I don't know how you can be a Christian and you never repent. Yeah. That baffles me. How can you be a Christian and never repent? We all got something to repent of, even if I did it on accident. Right. It's so silly because I can say, I'm going to call you back and have every intention to do it, but I didn't do it. I technically lied. I didn't mean to do it, you know what I mean? And I'm not sure that God's going to condemn me for it, but I'm just saying that's how our minds work. We just sin on accident sometimes because we're human. We don't even mean to. Yeah. So it's always about me keeping my heart clean and repenting. So getting right and staying clean before God is necessary to remain close to him and to be effective in prayer. I got to get clean. I got to confess. If confessing is the only time I pray, I mean, I'm sinning too much, though. You know, I mean, we got to get a balance. If all I'm doing is confessing, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And don't get it wrong. Nobody's perfect. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. But confessing shouldn't be all the time. See, if we keep confessing, that means we keep continually sinning. That means it's eventually going to be some disconnect from God. It can't flow like it's supposed to flow. And it's because when we get to sinning and we constantly ask for forgiveness, what do? Sometimes we beat ourselves up just as much. Then the enemy comes and starts condemning our mind and condemning, you're not no Christian, you're not saved, you don't really love God, you keep doing this, you keep doing that, and all that thing. That's what the enemy is putting on us. Not that God is thinking like that, but the sin disconnects us. Because what? When Jesus was on the cross, what did he say? Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus ain't never talked to his daddy like that. He said, wherever you see me doing, you see the Father doing. He is one, I am one. We tight like that. That's how we roll. But when he was on that cross, he couldn't feel the presence of God because he was carrying our sins. So the same thing happens to us when we're bogged down in sin. Sometimes we can't feel the presence of God. So confession of sin is necessary so he can forgive it and we can turn from it. It gives us the heart and mind to serve God more effectively. Look at this scripture real quick. Psalms 32, verses 1 and 2. It says this. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's a shout out right there. Boy, praise God. Blessed is he who is forgiven. Yeah. Transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. I said this Sunday, I said, if we don't confess it, he can't cover it. Mm-hmm. So we wonder why sometimes we stuck in these cycles and these rules. Sometimes we can't even ask for forgiveness yet. Yeah. That thing got a hold on us. Yeah. So when I'm in sin, I got to be careful because sin is so deceiving. You can think you're not in sin and be in sin. We start making excuses for ourselves. We start rationalizing what our wrongdoings are. And here's another scripture, 1 John 1 and 8. Check this out. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, I love this scripture, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But look at verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Wow. If we don't confess our sins and we don't acknowledge our sins, then we saying God is a liar and his word is not in us. Think about that. How deep that is when you got someone to love, when you're trying to talk to them and rationalize. You got a brother or sister in the faith and you try to bring them back. Like, look, this is wrong by God. And they can't even see it. See, sin blinds us, y'all. So we got to be careful. We can get to a point when you get so deceived by it
that you don't even think you're sinning anymore. Also, look at Matthew 6 and 12. In the model of prayer, Jesus saying, teach us how to pray when the disciples ask. It says, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So even Jesus in his model teaching us how to pray made confession part of his model. God, forgive us. And he ain't sinned. He ain't did nothing wrong. Forgive us of our sin, but we also got to be willing to forgive others. Don't miss that. It's important. It's imperative. If you want to see the power of confession and repentance, the best scripture is probably Psalms 51. This is when David committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed Uriah. And then Nathan the prophet called him out. And if you look at Psalms 51, this is the difference between David and Saul. But Saul was a king, but Saul wouldn't repent. So God got rid of him. He said, I got to bring somebody in here. Your heart's too stubborn. I got to lift up David now. But David, a man after God's own heart, even though he did all this wrong, it was his repentance that God honored. He said stuff like, only in front of you have I done this sin. Only in front of you have I done this great iniquity. Cleanse me with hyssop. Make me whiter than snow. He said, I've done evil. I've done wrong. I've been conceived in sin since my mother conceived me. David went all the way back to conception. He said, God, I'm just jacked up. I need help. My mama conceived me in sin. I'm just a mess. And it was that repentance. That's why God honored his forgiveness. So when we come to God with a true heart and confession, God honors that he's coming to cover your sins. That's his job. But when we don't confess it, God gave me some knowledge. It's like a concrete truck. You ever seen the cement trucks that run around? They mix the concrete and what it's in there mixing. It's in there mixing, and it's for it to pour concrete out on the street. And if it pours concrete on the street, they're gonna lay it down and make it smooth and all these things. And when it's done right, but if they leave it in there and don't got that truck turning, what happens? It gets hard. It gets stone, and now it's no good. And God said, that's what our heart is. See, when the concrete truck is pouring it out, that's me confessing my sins. I'm pouring my heart out to God so he can smooth it over and fix all those wrongs and imperfections. But if I leave that stuff in there, my heart becomes like stone. Yeah. It gets hard. It gets harder to confess and see my wrongs. So we got to be careful, because with unconfessed sin, it just makes our hearts so hard. Yeah. Wow. Look at this. Psalm 66 and 18. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. I don't know if I got to stop right there. I don't know if I go 19 yet. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not listen. So confession is so powerful. If I don't confess it, God ain't listening to me. But if I come trying to pray and excuse my sin, I come and trying to pray and try not to acknowledge my wrongdoings, God ain't even listening to me. I love this one. 19 says, but God did listen. Praise God, because he confessed. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love for me. We miss that God's unfailing love is there to cover us and catch us. But if we're not confessing, he can't cover it, y'all. We got to make sure that confession is a part of our prayer life. We can't leave sins uncovered. Sin uncovered will eventually uncover you, praise God. So you got to make sure you don't leave it uncovered. If it is what it is, repent. You know how awesome a gift that is? Because in the Old Testament, you couldn't do that. If you sin, first of all, you got to go find you an animal. And you got to go kill it and cook it and pour out blood in the basin and do all this just crazy stuff. Hey, I can't even say crazy, just God's order. Not crazy, but consider what we're living in now. I don't want to slit no goat throat. I don't want to do that. I don't want to pour out no blood. I don't want to have to boil it. I don't want to do all that. I don't want to do all that. I thank God I can say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Mm-hmm. So repentance is a gift that God has given us in this time. Amen. All right. So Acts, we did adoration. We did confession. The next on our list is thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is God-directed, humbly expressing gratitude. That's all thanksgiving is. It's God-directed, which means my thanks goes to God. I'm giving God honor, and it's humbly expressing gratitude. Praise. We praise God for who he is. I praise him because he's worthy of it. I do all that, and I also thank God for the things he has done. See, I praise him for who he is, but then I thank him for the things he's done. That's it. So when my relationship with God grows, it grows, I'm able to thank him and I show gratitude more. Because
yeah.
I'm at the point that if he don't do another thing for me, it's what the old saints used to say. If he don't do another thing for me, he's already done enough. You know what I mean? So I get so grateful and thankful when I think about my life, that so many things could have happened. I could have went this way. I could have went that way. That if he don't do nothing else, he saved me.
Yes, he did.
And no doubt he gonna do more, but if he didn't do nothing else. Now you say it like this, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank him enough. If I had 10, think about that. I just couldn't thank him enough. I seen this. It was Quincy Jones. He said, on average, human being lives about 26,000 days. So I'm trying to make sure I kill it every day, 26,000 days. That means 10,000 tons wouldn't be enough. Because if he just gave me 26,000 days, I need 26,000. Praise God. I hate to spend that good and that kind. So I got to be thankful just for every day I wake up and I got new mercy. That he didn't let me die in my sleep. I woke up with a new chance to get it right, a new chance to do something great, a new chance to move. So God is grateful. And we got parents in here, and it brings us great joy and delight. What? When our children are appreciative of what we do.
Right.
It makes us happy because we love our children. We try to make them happy and try to do these things. So it brings us great joy. And I got to remind my little ones that there isn't a money tree in my backyard. Praise God. I can't just go in the backyard and pull it off. It don't work like that. If it's not in the bank, it's not on my car. Praise God. It's not how it works. They think it's a tree back there. I know they do. But when I'm taking time out of my day and taking them to the gym so they can go work on their game and sacrificing that, or sacrificing my time to work out, if I'm taking them somewhere to eat, whatever I'm doing, I just want them to show gratitude. That's all I want, because they can't pay me back. There's no way your children can pay you back. They can't do anything. What they say? They my broke best friends. Uh-huh. they just staying in my career, rent free and everything, living my life. All I want them to do is really say thank you.
Right.
So why don't we think God don't feel the same way?
Amen.
He appeared here, our Father who are high in heaven. Right. Our Father. So if he's a father, it ain't that he won't. He just want to hear you say thank you. Because he's been that good to you. All the times I protected you, I just want to hear you say thank you. All the times I provided for you, I just want to hear you say thank you. All the times I made a way out of no way, I just want to hear you say thank you. And that's all God wants to hear. All the times I've forgiven you, praise God.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to hear you say thank you.
Lord.
So I know what you're thinking. But how do I thank him? Because sometimes bad things happen. Because you want me to have this Thanksgiving and it's cool when the sun is shining, but how do I thank God when it's raining outside? It's easy to thank him when everything's cool, the money's cool, relationship's good, kids are good, they on honor roll, got money in the bank. I thank you, Jesus. Everything is good. But how do I thank him when I'm dealing with hurt and pain? How do I thank him when things ain't going as good as they should be? I'm glad you asked. Look at Romans 8:28, one of my favorite scriptures. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things, not some, not a few, all things. That means even when it's bad, it's still working out for my good.
That's it.
See, that's why I can thank him, because even when it hurts, it's only meant to help me. That's why I can thank him, because when it appears that I've lost, it really was just a lesson.
Yeah.
See, that's why I can thank him, because even when them problems arise, they were only pushing me to my purpose. We're grateful because God is letting all things work together for our good to push us to our purpose. So I'm grateful even in the midst of the pain and the heartache. And even though you might not understand it now, I guarantee it'll make sense later.
Yes, Lord.
So we look at God and how he's blessing us. And I got to think about so many stories in the Bible, because that's where a lot of people get stuck at. They like, life ain't what it should be. I'm going through this, I'm going through that. So I can't give God this. I can't give him praise. I can't. And I just got to go through my Bible and look at him. And I was like, dang, Joseph was betrayed by his own brothers. He was left for dead, got moved, became a slave in Egypt, got lied. Potiphar's wife said he tried to rape her, got sent to a dungeon, should have been there the rest of his life. But then he ended up being second in command in Egypt. How do I thank God in that? But God had a plan for his life. All things working together for my good. David was a teenage boy. The last pick of his brothers, shouldn't have been king, ended up being anointed to be king. And as soon as he becomes king, he got to find a 9-foot giant and take him out. And it seems like, God, you just anointed me to be king. Why am I fighting a 9-foot giant? I just got into this role. But it was working out for his good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Daniel was just praying and minding his business, not bothering nobody. He just wanted to serve God. And they said, you know what? We're about to make a law and decree that anybody praying to any other God, they got to go to the lion's den. So I can imagine Daniel like, how do I thank God when I'm about to go to the lion's den? But he never stopped praying. He said, my God who I serve is going to get me out of this situation too, even though it don't look like it. Because even if I got to die, somehow he still don't get the glory. So God, how do I thank you in the midst of this? Then I thought about Mary. Mary. She had to watch her son get lied on by everybody. She had to watch her son get beat to a bloody pulp. She had to watch her son die on the cross and get buried and sit in the grave. God, how do I thank you when my son is dead? How do I thank you when all these problems going on? But 3 days later, praise God. Yes, but 3 days later, he rose again. So what God is telling us and showing us that darkness is only temporary. Even if he didn't turn something around for you that you really wanted him to do, don't mean he couldn't do it.
That's
it. See, what we got to understand about God, he's going to do whatever gets him the most glory. You think that me and Jennifer wouldn't have wanted for us to be able to do CPR and bring Serenity back? Of course, that would have been our will for our life. Who wants to lose a child? Who wants to go through something like that? But God says no, because I got something greater for you.
Yeah.
And it tripped me out, because at her funeral, this is an infant. I promise it was like 300 people there at least, if not more. And they got to hear the gospel. And God had to show me that you got people here from all shapes, all facets of life. They ain't thought about church in years.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the only time they come. Because they got love for you, and this situation is tragic. So they need to hear the gospel, because we don't know how many people, how long they're going to live after they've been in here. So I'm willing to take the soul to be with me, because I know y'all going to get through it, and I got a miracle waiting for you in the wing anyway. But I'd rather do this to get them to hear the gospel, because it's going to bring me more glory, because somebody in there need to be saved. And then God bless us with a miracle right after that. We didn't know what was going to happen or how we going to work it out. All we knew was trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So God is showing us constantly again a reminder that no matter how bad it may seem now, it's working out for my good.
Yes, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord.
So the last one in the Acts is supplication. So we got adoration. I'm giving praise to God. I'm honoring him. I'm lifting up his name. I'm thanking him. Then I'm going to confess, and I'm confessing my sins. Father, forgive me. I'm going into thanksgiving mode for all he's done. I'm just thanking you. Now we get to supplication. And supplication is where we begin to ask God for things. So what is the definition of supplication? Supplication is asking something from God. It means to beseech, petition, or appeal for him to do or to provide something for yourself or others. So that's what supplication, there's a lot right there. Supplication is a lot. It's asking God to do something. I'm making a petition, a specific request. I'm asking God to do it, but I can ask it for me, but I also have the right to ask it for others as well.
Amen.
So look at this, Ephesians 6:19, as Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. In the spirit, what is praying in the spirit? This is where we get the speaking of tongues from. And I haven't done a whole lot of it, and spirit helped me, hit me sometimes, I can't help it. But I don't do a lot of it, and we're going to teach on this more, because it is a place forward. You got to understand the Bible. It got to be theologically presented to you. You know what I mean? We got to think, because we can't just we tongues, and then people come in here and they don't know what's going on, who you talking to, what's going on. And no, we're here to preach the gospel. We got to get people saved. Tongues is a gift. But he says, Paul would say, you're praying in the spirit. So he's saying that something happens when we pray in the spirit. And I'm going to teach on praying in the spirit, because we have to learn this as well. But he's saying, put your petitions and your requests to God.
Mm-hmm.
See, God wants to answer our prayers. And God, three things I believe, this is why our prayers aren't being answered. Check this out. These three things are, one, we don't ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just, I don't know if we think God already know or what. I don't know. He do already know. He knows how many hairs on your head. He knows everything. But he needs you to ask him for it. Our children are not just going to show up hungry. Our children, you hungry? Okay, what do you want to eat? What if I give you something you don't like? You're not going to eat it. So one, we don't ask. Two, we don't have faith. And three, it's not aligned to his will. So if we don't have these three things going for us, it's more than likely our prayers won't be answered. So look at James 4 and 2. It says this. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Wow. James is showing us our human hearts that we lust for things and we still don't even get what we want. You murder and covet and you still can't obtain it. How many people have killed people trying to get money or something in drugs? And they still don't even get it. You don't even get what you want. Are you covering so bad people rob banks and don't even get what they want? You want it so bad and you still don't have it. You fight in war for it and you still don't have it. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. Ain't that crazy? That God is saying you don't. Why? I'm the plug. Why you ain't asking me? Why are you going to all these other resources and trying to all these other things, invitations? I am the one. Ask me. When we try to get things by our own means, we typically always fail. See, when God is saying you do not have because you don't ask. And look at what Jesus said about praying. Look at this. Matthew 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Amen. Jesus is telling us right here, how do you get your prayers answered? You got to be persistent. It ain't a one-time thing, God do this, and then I'm just going to leave it on the shelf. No. It got to be some consistency. It got to be some persistence with it. I remember God gave me an example. This is when we was over there at the gardens. We was going to, after church, go get something to eat, and we know where we was going to go. We trying to figure out what we going to eat. And Daniel kept saying, Metro Diner. I'm like, man, nobody going to Metro Diner. What are we going to eat? Metro Diner. I'm not going to Metro Diner. He just kept on saying Metro Diner to the point eventually it started sounding good to me. So all of us said, we all rolled up. We didn't want a Metro Diner after I had told him no. And I thought about that. I'm his father. And I told him no. But because he kept asking and he kept being persistent, and he wanted it, his heart's desire, I ended up giving him what he wanted. What if God did the same thing for us? That we just kept being persistent and kept saying, Father, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. Kept aligning. And then he said, you know what? Because you want it this bad, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. Because it's your heart's desire. Delight myself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. God wants to bless us. So sometimes we act like an annoying child when it comes to God. Act like a little kid. Keep on asking and keep on asking. Knock. Sometimes we got to knock like the police at the door. Got to knock on that door like we ain't got no sense. And we got to seek it like it's something we can't live without. Yeah. Once we do these things, God is more willing to answer our prayers. He even gives an example of a widow that kept on asking and got on the judge's nerves. So the judge said, you know what? I'm sick of this woman. Give her whatever she wants. I don't want to see her no more.
Right.
So God wants us to ask. And then God is so awesome. He knows what to give us once we ask for what we want. He says, God says this. I just use me as an example of giving Daniel Metro Diner. He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, why do you think I being good won't give y'all what y'all want? You evil. And if your kid asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a serpent.
Right.
And you evil. Just be flat out. Your heart ain't right. You need me. Yeah. Why wouldn't I give my children what they desire? So God is trying to push us into prayer because that's how we get things answered. Prayer has to be so important of our important part of our spiritual life, just as breathing is our natural life. It's our communication with God. So the most important part of supplication is intercession. So this is what intercession is. Intercession is intervening with a request on the behalf of someone else. Interceding is one of the most loving things we can do. Interceding is important because I am petitioning God on the behalf of someone else. That means I'm putting my needs on the back burner, asking God to do something for somebody else. Interceding is powerful, y'all. But to be an intercessor and to intercede, I got to be selfless. See, I want us to get to a point that we get here early and I want to start a prayer ministry because Prayer is just important. Before we come to church, that we're interceding, that we're here early praying for God to bless these souls, anyone that walks through these doors to change their heart, because prayer is everything. God can't move how he needs to move without first us praying to God, setting the atmosphere for him. Prayer is how we move. So I want to get to a mind frame that we desire to pray for others, because when God was about to judge Israel, he's about to kill them all. And Moses stepped in and said, no, God, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. You can't do it. He interceded for Israel when they all should have been dead. Mm-hmm. When the king was about to kill all the Jews because Mordecai lied on them, Esther came in. She fasted and said, I got to talk to the king. I don't care what's going on. If I die, I die. But I got to pray and intercede on behalf of my people, because if I don't, they're going to die. Mm-hmm. My God. And the Bible tells us, check this out, that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So Jesus is interceding for us every day. He's praying for God. Jesus didn't just get off the cross and say, all right, I'm chilling now. It's all done. All my work is done. Yeah, the earthly part is, but he's so awesome that he's still praying for us. Jesus, that just tripped me out. Jesus even prays, first of all. He God. Why he praying? That just blows my mind at to the most part. But even after he resurrected, he's still praying for us. Look at this, Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus is praying for us daily. Then he says the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. A couple of verses back in Romans 8, it says the Spirit gives out groans and utterance of words that cannot be explained. So we got the Holy Spirit praying for us. We got Jesus praying for us. And if we ain't praying, how much they going to be able to do? Amen. We got to get our part in it too. We can't expect Jesus to do all the work. Holy Spirit do all the work. We are our own moral agents. We got to also do our part as well. So we must understand that the whole point of this, of interceding and Jesus praying for us, is so that we can conform to the image of God's Son on the earth, so God's will can be done on the earth. Because how Jesus prayed in his prayer that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But how can this will be done, for one, if we're not praying, and two, if we're not letting prayer change us to conform to the image of his Son? If we're not image bearers, no one's going to want to be that image that we're portraying to be. Yeah. We are the Christians, the representatives, the ambassadors. And the best thing we can do is pray for people, because prayer is so awesome. It not only helps them, but it changes you. Yes, you know what I mean? It makes me be more loving, more kind, more patient. I got a different heart about myself when I'm praying for people. So I'm getting ready to close with these four types of prayers. I want you to observe the biblical wisdom in listening supplication last. Think about that. Save supplication for last. Why? Because if I'm adoring God, my heart's already at a place where I'm worshiping. I'm already excited just because who he is. If I confess, I'm already confessing my sin, asking to forgive me for all my wrongdoings, all my transgressions. I got that. He's covered that. Now I go into thanking him for just being who he is and for what he's done, the simple things. Give us this day our daily bread. Thanking him for the simple things, the things he's done, and all that. Now, because I knocked all those out, now I'm coming to you to ask you something. You know what I'm saying? It's like foreplay of prayer. You know what I mean? I'm not just coming to God. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. I need it. You my sugar daddy, you my genie, you my whatever, whatever. No. If God created hearts. Everything got a heart too. Amen. And he don't want to be used and abused. It's just like we don't want to be used and abused. Right. So you only coming to me when you want something? You only coming to me when you because I got it, you want me to give it to you? No, it's a relationship. Relationships have expectations. So when I do all these other things and put them first and get that out the way, not that I'm just doing it to get out the way, but my heart is more pure when I pray now. Because now I can pray what his will is. And it might be something I really wanted, but it might not be good for me. It might be something I really desired and wanted at this time, and God may say, not yet. And if our heart is not right when I'm going into prayer, I'm going to miss him speaking back to me. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about prayer. We ask. We don't listen. Mm-hmm. It's two-way communication. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get my prayer calls. Y'all, I just shut up for a minute. Mm-hmm. God, what you want to say? Before I get to asking and doing my thing, what you got to say to me? Mm-hmm. What do you want me to do? What do you want me? How do you want me to move? And allow him to speak to you. But we so worried about our needs and our wants sometimes. We're not thinking about what God wants. So we got to understand that prayer is a two-way street. And he's not a genie. And he's not a sugar daddy. But he's a loving father. And when we put all four things together, I believe our prayers will get answered more effectively. And we'll be able to pray more powerfully. Because we're praying how God designed to pray. How Jesus told us to. Amen. Amen. Give God a praise in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.